Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. We've got some breaking news into the podcast as the first transfer from SMU basketball is in, and it is Darius McNeil, who played one season of basketball for SMU after sitting out the 2019-2020 season due to transfer rules when he came over from Cal. He played this season for SMU, and he has entered his name into the transfer portal. And look, he didn't play in the final game against Boise State. He played against Cincinnati, but had just 2 points, 1 of 6 shooting. And look, I think for Darius McNeil, he plays in 12 games, 7.3 points, 2.6 rebounds, and an assist while shooting 42% and 39% from three-point range. I think his role with the emergence of Emmanuel Bandamel certainly hurt. There's no question about that. So his minutes probably got some taken away there. When Tyson Jolly returned, some of his minutes went away. Obviously, he wanted to play a little bit of point guard, but you're not going to take that from Kendrick Davis, I don't think. And then it really was just a tightening of rotation, and I think Darius McNeil didn't see the role, especially down the stretch in the season. You look at where he was in the middle of the season, playing 32 minutes, 29, 27, 26, 31, 23, and 24. Plays at Memphis, 12. At East Carolina in the final game before the pause, 15. And then comes back and plays at against Cincinnati in the AAC tournament. He plays 27 minutes, but in those three games, he had a total of 10 points. Things just did not go well for him down the stretch of this season. Then he doesn't play against Boise State. And it's a little surprising, though, just because I think when you look at the future of the backcourt, let's say Tyson Jolly moves on, obviously with the way his season went and the way his life has kind of been with the personal reasons that he sat out for this season, there's got to be questions whether he's going to return. Will Kendrick Davis capitalize on a honorable mention All-American season and go pro, and go play overseas? That's a question. But then you look at the rest of the backcourt, and you've got Emmanuel Bandamel, who's the same year as Darius McNeil, I believe, and then Will Douglas, who I got to imagine Will Douglas is going to move on. If there's going to be roster turnover, he'd be at the top of the list. Charles Smith, can he produce at a level to take a ton of minutes from Darius McNeil? Darius McBride, is he ever going to come around? I know he dealt with a car accident early in this year to derail his second season after redshirting his freshman year. And then you add Jalen Smith and Zurek Phelps, who are freshmen, but Darius McNeil's played a lot of basketball. It didn't really make sense to me. Now, he could want to go be the top dog, and I totally would get that. But as far as the first transfer, obviously this one is surprising to me. SMU season has been over now for a minute. I think this is not going to be the last one by any means. You could see certainly some players move on. We saw them celebrate the graduations of quite a few players with the virtual senior day that they held. So will they end up having a ton of roster spots to work with next year? I think that's certainly a storyline to watch. They need to upgrade the talent around this team. There's no doubt about that. And they need to continue to evaluate all the options on doing that. And that is something that maybe Tim Jankovic has been told he's going to return, which could be the case. But I don't know that. I don't believe that to be the case based on what I've heard over the last week or so. And at this point, he's just continuing to do his job, which he should be. So he's obviously met with Darius McNeil, who put his name into the NCAA transfer portal on Tuesday. And now SMU at least has two roster spots open. They went into this season with an open scholarship. I'm not sure if Jamar Young was actually put on scholarship or not this year, or if they just ate it, so to speak. 12 scholarship players. But either way, with, you know, I would say Jamar Young is somebody that is not a counted scholarship player kind of going forward, if that makes sense. Then you have two scholarships to play with. If this is indeed Darius McNeil's, you know, last time having suited up for SMU in the AAC tournament. Then you look at the rest of the roster. What does SMU need going forward? One, the way Yorinay's late season kind of went and kind of how he had to work through things and was out for personal reasons as well. Does he return? Does he come back? That's a question I have. I think if you look at the front court, that's the area where they need to turn it over. Everett Ray, thanks for playing. Awesome young man. Everything I've heard, just great. But he's not going to contribute to this basketball team. Isaiah Jacy, he was a starter. He's serviceable off the bench. So with an extra year of eligibility, could he come back? Yeah, I could see that. But will he? That's the thing with SMU right now. And it goes, you know, back to really, I mean, Will Douglas a few years ago. He's still at SMU. And it's okay to turn over the roster and have honest conversations with players and see if they'll move on. It's a tough school to obviously want to move on from. That's the thing the football program had to deal with a lot of the Chad Morris recruits. They just wouldn't move on. With Tim Jankovic being such a player's coach and, quite honestly, letting them do a lot of things that, you know, maybe the football team can't even do. It's a pretty sweet place to be. But this team, especially if, once again, we're going to talk this up, if they're going to return a bunch of talent and a bunch of contributors to 2021 and 2022, this team should be better. And it goes back to coaching, it goes back to buy-in, it goes back to consistency from the entire group of players as well. Because there were some players that certainly didn't get enough, SMU didn't get enough out of them this season, without a doubt. And with the way things are right now with Tim Jankovic's status, you know, we reported on Pony Stampede. If you haven't been a subscriber, and we've had a ton of subscribers in the last week or so as we've been reporting on this, but Tim Jankovic is entering the final year of his contract. He is a lame duck as it stands, unless they announce some sort of an extension, which I would be very surprised if they did. He's going to be entering the final year of his contract. And they're going to go hard after transfers because they need a quick fix to the lack of overall depth in the program. And so we're going to continue to track some of these transfers that are already emerging on Pony Stampede. So if you haven't subscribed, check that out as we continue to track whether Tim Jankovic will be back. And I think if you ask me, and I'm not going to give away everything, we're going to, Wednesday morning we'll have kind of our latest findings, I think, from what the discussions have been with various sources about Tim Jankovic's future. So check that out Wednesday morning. But this podcast will be up Tuesday afternoon. Is when do you need to come out and make a statement? Because there are coaches being fired. There are coaches being hired. Kenny Payne being zeroed in on as the DePaul coach. And a lot of people around Dallas and around SMU, that was a name. Kenny Payne. That was one where, you know, that would be a somebody that SMU could look to and get rather easily. He's got NBA ties, former Kentucky assistant. It's pretty good. KT Turner interviewing for Lamar in the mix at UT Rio Grande. He's getting some head coaching looks. Time is ticking, in a way. So if I'm SMU and I'm working through whatever I'm working through with the basketball program right now, you've got to make a decision by the end of the week, and you need to come out with a, I don't know if you need to do a statement, but you need to leak it that he's going to return so that these players that are in the transfer portal already can be recruited like they need to be. And that's the cold hard facts. Now, is there a chance Tim Jankovic doesn't return? Yes, I still think there is still a chance. But most people I have talked with where it stands, it just seems like he'd be back. But again, Wednesday morning, we're dropping the latest findings. So I'll share that with you guys more for our Pony Stampede subscribers who are on the message board with us. So check that out. If you listen to the podcast but don't subscribe to Pony Stampede, check it out. Just $1 for your first month or 30% off annual subscriptions. You can get the early going of spring football practice as well, which is set to start here in the next couple weeks. And there's been some pertinent football news as well on the Pony Stampede message board with recruiting and team and all that stuff. So be sure to check that out as well if you're a VIP subscriber. Now, the basketball team, I think when you look at what happened against Boise State, and I'm not going to rehash it any more than this, but it was very typical. It was very typical SMU, the way they played, the way they started especially. That was embarrassing. It doesn't get much worse than that start. And I like to listen to Rich Phillips sometimes when they're games of importance. You know, I sometimes I'm in the work zone and not always listening to Rich in terms of every game. But that was one of those games that I was like, okay, up the road in Frisco, team played Cincinnati, had some time off to regroup and get better. They ended up getting Yorne back. Tyson Jolly wasn't on a minutes restriction. Boise State had lost 4 in a row. This is going to be one where if it doesn't go well, I really want to listen to the radio. And you could just kind of sense the frustration in just listening to it. But it's not uncommon for this SMU team. It's just not. And Kendrick Davis, what an incredible performance. Especially if it's his last game. We'll see if it is. There's been a lot of thank yous for a great time in the 4 years from some of the players going out on Twitter. Ethan Shagwa, guys like that. It'll be interesting to see what the team looks like next year, but I just felt like it was a very typical performance. They didn't get much from anyone else. Kendrick Davis did everything he could, but ultimately Boise State just, you know, was able to execute down the stretch. I mean, the final play was just, was that not very typical postseason SMU basketball? I mean, it just floored me. Floored me watching it. So, anyway, we're going to move on from basketball real quick just because I want to go down the list of some of these latest football offers. I want to kind of bring you guys up to speed on some of the offers that went out early this week because I do think some of them are rather notable. I want to start with just up the road, Dallas Jesuit safety Robert Fitzgerald. He's got a lot of Power 5 attention right now. He had one of the best, if not really the best, testing score from the Under Armour Dallas Regional. Right now, those scores are really embargoed for us and for the colleges that pay for them. But I think you'll see them kind of start to leak out a little bit. But look, he is somebody that I saw this fall as well, and he's a teammate of Matthew Craycraft, the offensive tackle that SMU is recruiting from Dallas Jesuit, which produced Branson Hickman, current SMU offensive lineman. So there's some ties here that they could play with and certainly have a chance to be heavily in the mix. I spoke with Robert Fitzgerald about the offer. He was very high on it. Sounds like they're going to start picking up communication and really start getting to, know the rest of the staff. Garrett Riley's been recruiting him. He lives 5 minutes from SMU, and he's also got the allure of Power 5, though. And that's something that is, you know, anytime you are recruiting the level of player SMU's recruiting, that's obviously important. We just saw it. Lubbock Cooper, defensive end Kyler Jordan, just committed to Baylor. He had a virtual visit with SMU about a week ago. You know, someone that was certainly high on their list ends up leaving Lubbock to go to Baylor. That's a tough one to eat for them, for sure. But they're continuing to move on some linebackers as well. We talked about Jalen White a couple podcasts ago out of Arkansas, who I really like, but they did offer an Oklahoma linebacker, Eli McWilliams. He's picked up a few offers as of late, but I was talking with him last night, and he said, you know, there's quite a few other programs that are starting to come around on him. Washington State is one that he's really talking with a lot, but he's got a few other offers in hand. And then I was just out at South Oak Cliff, and by the way, if you're not subscribed to Pony Stampede, we're pretty much the only people that go out and cover these players, you know, live that I've seen so far, if you're an SMU fan. So anyway, I was out at South Oak Cliff watching them work out, and there's always stacks and stacks of talent out there at SOC. And 2023, Javon Thomas, corner, picked up an SMU offer. He's blowing up. He's got that speed. He's got those wheels. Somebody that I think you could see him end up being one of the really highest recruited guys in Texas. He's a little undersized in terms of height, but he's got the wheels. Played running back, corner, kick returner over at Corsicana as a sophomore. He's a 2023 Notre Dame, Texas. They've all offered now. And so he'll be a tough pull, but SMU did throw their hat in the mix there. Any type of, you know, Dallas, South Dallas kid, you know, we'll see if Rashad Samples and Co. can really kind of pull that together and maybe somehow keep him at home here in Dallas. But I thought that was a great offer. And then they also went out to Tascosa and offered really somebody who's really on the rise from the Amarillo area, and offered Major Everhart, a 2022 running back. And this is one where he's starting to pick up some steam as well. TCU's offered him, but it's a lot of FBS schools and group of fives for the most part. He's a big play guy, has a few power fives, TCU, Texas Tech, Virginia Tech. But overall, he's somebody that should kind of be attainable if you're SMU. He's got some good height. He's got a really muscular frame. And then he just clocked a ridiculous time this past week in the 100. And so he is cooking when he's out there on the field. Really like his big play ability that he could bring. And so he's a 2022. Rashad Samples is on him. 10-4, 300 meters. So you're going to see his recruiting ranking skyrocket as well. Just a really talented back out of the Amarillo area that SMU went ahead and offered as soon as that time came out. And you'll see more get in on him as things go. But for the most part, that's been it to kick off this week. And then Avion Carter, a 2023 teammate of Major Everhart, also picked up an offer last week. So that's noteworthy as well. They'll start recruiting those two guys and see where the chips fall on them. But that's kind of been the latest buzz as of the last week in recruiting. We just started rolling out our position by position recruiting snapshots for 2022. And the quarterback one is where we started. It was really well received by the board. And we're going to start doing that for spring football as well. So little snapshots of the position previews and kind of what to expect in spring ball for SMU, which is about 2 weeks away now. 2.5 weeks away from starting spring ball. April 9th is what I believe they're supposed to get started with. So keep an eye on those. We're going to go position by position in 2022, give you some names to know, kind of maybe pie in the sky dream guys, realistic guys. And in the quarterback's case, SMU really offered six guys, five if you want to not count the Alabama prospect, Anthony Mix Jr., that Rhett Lashley offered. All of them really high-end players. Connor Wegman, Texas A&M commit, Cade Klubnik, Clemson commit, and then Quinn Ewers committed to Ohio State. And then the two others, Braden Locke out of Rockwall and Josh Hoover out of Rockwall Heath, right down the road for Garrett Riley, can make a stop when he's allowed on the road and see both of those guys if they're still uncommitted when the dead period ends. But anyway, that was just kind of a little recruiting snapshot for you guys. Continue tracking on Pony Stampede. A lot of good stuff coming your guys' way. So again, I mentioned it earlier in the pod, but subscribe for your first month for $1. And also leave us a rating, leave us a review, and follow us on the Pony Stampede podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. So we're going to wrap up this edition of the pod. We're going to do an old-fashioned Q&A podcast next time. I want to hear from you guys. We'll do a question and answer pod, and I will pick some of them to address on the pod next episode. I'm going to post that on Pony Stampede right now for questions. Submit them on the board, and we'll see you next time. That'll drop first thing Friday morning. But until then, guys, have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch you next time.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that He was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.